And welcome to an evening with the Codfather. I'm down at the Santiago Bar, Leeds, where I'm joined by electroclash punk songstress of Bikini Death Race, Ginger Cat Bad Rocks.
Hello there.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I know you've flown in from Italy.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's nice to say hello. I know we've spoke on Instagram and all the rest of it, so faces to names and all that.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the early days with your band.
All right.
We have played on the Alternative Jukebox.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, we like to indulge with original unsung artists, really. You know, the ones that don't get on the air that often. So I think we'll go straight into it, shall we? And your earliest music memories.
Okay.
Where did it all start?
My earliest music memories are me and my sister dancing in the front room, or singing in the front room to my dad's...
This is in Huddersfield, not
in
Italy.
In Huddersfield, yeah, exactly. Huddersfield. In to my dad's records. And the ones that I remember the most are Boney M and Donna Summer.
Donna Summer.
And we used to take a skipping rope and pretend that it was a microphone.
Oh, you had an end each.
Yeah, one end each. Singing.
And Donna Summer had the same birthday as me.
Really?
New Year's Eve. Donna Summer. New Year's Eve.
Yeah. That's my earliest memories. I'm showing off my age now, yeah?
Oh, we're not even going there.
No, please. It's
no,
rude
no,
to
we're
ask
not even
a lady
going there. No,
her
I'm
age.
Not. No, they all call me retro cod. So I'm extremely old. So Donna Summer singing.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah, that really is my earliest memory of music, I have to say. Oh, and well, in the car when we were going on family holidays, my mum loved The Carpenters and John Denver. And so singing in the car when we were going on family holidays to John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads, and The Carpenters. So obviously we moved on to the Beatles after that, like everyone does.
Can we quote that? No, we don't.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Hey, it's all about preference, isn't it? It's all people's opinions and all the rest of it. But yeah, the Karen Carpenter, wonderful
yes,
voice.
Yes, amazing.
Yeah,
so wonderful.
Bad. Decent drummer as well.
Yes, she was. She
Very
was,
good.
Bless her.
Worked to death, bless her. So that was your earliest memories?
Those are my earliest memories of music,
to say.
There's
no rock and roll in there, was
no
there?
No rock and roll at all. You're right. Yeah.
So your parents was sort of middle of the road.
Yeah, I'm sure my dad did have some rock and roll, but we were into, being girls, I've got two sisters, so we were always listening to the female artists at home, and it was all about By the Rivers of Babylon, and I Feel Love by Donna Summer.
Yeah.
So now we'll go into what a bit more about your preferences. So
okay.
The first album you bought.
Okay, so the first album that I ever bought and on vinyl.
Be truthful.
I'm being truthful. I'm not ashamed to say that the first album I ever bought was Hunting High and Low by A-ha.
Oh, Scandinavian.
And I remember vividly going to buy it. We had a little vinyl shop in our village.
Beautiful hair.
And I used to... Like, what's that?
Beautiful hair.
Oh, yeah. Loved them. I used to walk past it on my way home from school and I'd look in the window and I'd see that vinyl and I'd think, oh, I really want to get it. So
visualisation. And it came through.
Yeah, saved up my pocket money and I went in and I was a bit embarrassed because it was one of those shops where... You have to go up to the counter and sort of say, point at it and sort of say, can I have that one?
The good old days.
And yeah. And well, got it.
Actually buy something.
Got it. You took it home and...
There's something special about vinyl, isn't they? Taking the seal off and looking, reading the cover.
Absolutely.
These youngsters, you know about, but he won't have a clue. They don't know what vinyl is.
It's... It's listening to music, isn't it? Because you're actually
that
listening.
Crackle.
You're listening and you're not, you know, like...
And you can't skip songs because you're frightened to scratch your record.
That's right.
Now they go, I don't like this, boom, press a button.
Yeah.
And it moves, nah.
And it, yeah. And I think it's something to pass on to your, you know, generations to come, a vinyl.
Loads of vinyl and it went
missing. I always think, what am I going to pass on to my... son, an MP3. No, I don't think so. It's not quite the same, is it?
Not quite the same, is it? No,
it's just not quite the same as passing on a vinyl.
No. The storage is easier.
Yeah.
The storage, so there you go. Aha. What was the album called? Can you remember? Was it just...
Hunting High and Low.
Hunting High and Low. Sorry, it's me. I'm deaf.
Yeah. Do you remember them?
Yes, I do. I remember. I mean, there wasn't
Take on
my
me.
Thing, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Yeah, that's the one. Great
we've
video
we've got Lee
as well.
Singing in the background, yeah.
It was a cartoon, yeah.
That's what I remember more about
the comic
the actual
strip,
song.
Like,
the comic, the drawing very
good.
Oh,
it was
good,
Ace,
so.
Yeah. Are they? Well.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them do these farewell tours and welcome back tours. And
they must need a bit of cash.
Well, right. I suppose a little bit more on that. Posters that adorned your bedroom walls when you were growing up then.
Okay.
So are we saying A-ha's got to be in there?
Well, no, actually. I never managed to get a poster of A-ha, but I did have posters of Duran Duran.
Oh.
And a bit of a mix, actually, because I had Duran Duran and then I had Culture Club. So a bit of Boy George.
Great voice.
And then I had Wham. So there you go. Weird.
Oh, proper.
Wham.
Proper poppy.
And Wham was the first gig that I ever saw in Leeds.
Wham Fest. The first band I ever saw in Leeds was Kiss.
Was who?
Kiss.
Oh, I've seen Kiss in Sheffield. It was amazing.
Yeah,
my
brothers have been... I was like a youngster, so there was more of a novelty for me.
Yeah.
He still loves them to this day.
Did you put the makeup on?
They did.
Good.
I didn't.
You didn't? No. Why not?
That was...
You're not into that?
No, that wasn't my thing.
That wasn't your thing.
My thing, okay. So it's all sort of... You're poppy, so you're new romantic, and well, then Culture Club, a bit different.
I just
but he had a great voice, Boy George.
He did. He had a great voice, and I like the songs. I don't know, just
Karma Chameleon. You thought I was going into you thought I was stuttering there, didn't you? Thought I went into Arkwright. Do you know what Arkwright is? Open All Hours.
From Open All Hours, yeah. Ronnie Barker.
Yeah, filmed in Doncaster.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Is it filmed in Doncaster? Yeah. That was filmed in Doncaster.
Still is, because it's back on.
Is it?
But Granville now plays the part. He runs the shop now. So there you go. We'll send you some.
All these things I'm missing out on.
We'll be right back.
So back off that little musical break there, I've got Ginger Cat Bad Rocks from Bikini Death Race. She's answered some questions about the early days of the band and herself and everything else. So we shall move on. We've got bedroom walls adorned with various posters. Bit odd, like, but there you go. I was expecting somebody, I don't know, with a bit of, you know, punk rock somewhere along the line, but there you go.
Sorry to disappoint.
No, it's not a disappointment. But so, right, we'll move on because obviously you're the dancey type, so we'll go with... Which songs did you make up dance routines for? And this will be with you and your sisters.
It was with my sister. Well, no, she's not much of a dancer. It was more with my friends. Thriller, Michael Jackson, obviously.
Moonwalk, do you moonwalk? Hang on, we've got...
And just Michael Jackson in general. And
these aren't actually extras in the video, I know.
They're trying to put me off by, what are they doing?
No, I'm just saying, they actually look like the extras, didn't they?
No, that's not how you do it. Makeup. I'll show you how to do it.
There you go. You get by a professional. I just have to walk with my dodgy knees a little as I should be on it, so. So Thriller, go
Thriller.
On.
And then Madonna, obviously.
Ooh, Madge.
Come on. Madonna, open
iconic
your
woman.
I remember. Oh, and Five Star. Do you remember them?
Yeah, Five Star. Classic.
System Addict.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
They were good dancers, and it was just so Five easy Star. To you just watch them and copy them in your front room. You're shocked, aren't you?
No,
you
no, it's expecting. Because no. When I say it's not my bag, in no. That, but I know who you're talking about. Anybody else? Madge. You didn't wear the.
Oh, I was willing to.
The
oh.
Cornets or anything, did you? the pointy bras and stuff.
Oh, like that kind of thing. No,
that's what
wasn't
I'm
really
you didn't
into
wear a traffic
that kind
cone
of stuff.
Or something like that.
More early Madonna. Oh, yeah, you know, before she started doing that kind of thing.
Yeah,
holiday
her,
and
a
yeah.
wee one.
Yeah.
So there you go. So when did you actually realise music was what you wanted to do?
Gosh.
Because obviously what you're talking about, like most of us, there was that sort of music was a part of your life.
It was. And I just, from a very young age, I just knew that it made me happy making music. Yeah. And not necessarily what I wanted to do, because probably I never thought that I would be able to. do it as a job or anything. But when I was really little, I used to record the music from teletext on a tape recorder, and I used to write songs to it, write lyrics to it.
To the music,
and then record the songs in my bedroom.
Brilliant. And how old was you?
I was only at primary school, so I was writing songs when I was at primary school to teletext
oven,
music. Yeah. That's how it all
that
started.
That Beethoven was doing it at 3-year-old playing piano, wasn't he?
And I was just in my bedroom doing that, and I don't think anyone really knew about it, and it's probably the first time I've ever confessed. But
so from an early age then, really?
Just really liked writing songs and singing and then playing. So my mum and dad knew that I was into it, so they started me on lessons, and then I did music lessons, started
for
to
what?
Learn.
What was the?
Well, piano first. Playing piano, and then from there, guitar. Started guitar at school, and then singing. My singing is my main passion, but yeah. Those were my.
So.
And songwriting.
You was obviously songwriting from primary school, which so that age is sort of like between 5, 8, 9 year old.
I was probably in the top class at primary school, because I remember when I used to sort of tell my friends, I've written this song, and then we'd sing it and make up a dance routine to my song that I'd written to the music of teletext. I can't believe I'm saying this. Please don't put this on there. It's absolutely
exclusive now. We know what Bikini Death Race was. Teletext.
Stop it.
That was a digital though, wasn't it? I mean, teletext used to say picture.
So it's not that different to what I'm doing now.
I should have the quiz on there.
It's not that different to what I'm doing now.
My God. There you go. So like I say, I obviously from an early age without actually realising you had a passion for it.
I'd say so, yeah, but I just sort of never thought that I would be able to do anything viable with it. And then, do you want me to go into that?
No, later. It's okay. I'm just saying, because you've actually covered something which I was actually going to ask you, which was about playing instruments.
Yeah.
But you've already told me there.
Yeah.
Piano, guitar.
Yeah.
To a classical level or?
My guitar, mainly acoustic, actually. I don't really play electric guitar. Obviously piano, so I can play keyboards, but I just... With Bikini Death Race, I just prefer singing because I just want to focus on that, and it's much easier to put on a show when you're only concentrating on singing.
Yeah. So what I was actually going to ask you as well was about, have you been in any other bands or?
Yes, I have.
Or your first bands, this sort of thing then?
Yes, I have.
Is that it?
I'm not going to go.
You don't want to divulge? No, that's fine. That's fine, so... All I'll say, how old was you when you went, your first band?
No comment.
No. Oh, that. I'm not a police officer, honest. Right, we'll leave it at that and we'll go to a musical break.
No.
Right, so we're back again with Bikini Death Race singer Ginger Cat Bad Rocks. Right, we're going to go straight in. For the people that don't know anything about Bikini Death Race, can you describe your sound and music?
Oh, well, I'll have a go. Gosh, it's... I think the sound is... It's what we call... It's electro clash, which is like... The sound comes from the 2000s.
The noughties.
But it has like a punk attitude, so...
It's quite fast, isn't it?
And it's very fast. The songs are all at 180 BPM.
I'm glad they don't play the drums for you.
And yeah, and they're all less than 3 minutes, so short, sharp shocks. But it goes from anything to like the sound of maybe Ace of Base to the sound of some punk type band. And it's not that easy to describe. It's electronic, but with a punk attitude.
Yeah, because the lyrics are. They're about life, aren't they, really?
Right, so the songs, yeah. What we've done with this band is it's become... This band is like an escape, basically, and it's what...
Isn't music anywhere, really?
Yeah, it's our place where we escape and we just have a lot of fun. And what these songs talk about are... kind of absurdities that we all face in our lives, in our normal lives. And we kind of make fun of ourselves. And some examples are things like, we've written a song about those moments when someone says hello to you and you can't remember who they are.
Oh, that's...
You know, exactly.
They think, why I write things down, because I can't remember things. Yeah.
So someone says hello to you and you're like, hello, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, God.
I had that moment
Hang on
today
a minute.
In a cafe.
Where is this person from? Is it from work? Is it from the office? You know, is it from the gym?
One of my albums, yeah.
Yeah. Is it a famous person? So that's one of the songs. And then we've written a song about...
People
a person
like.
Who invented a time machine but never has time to use it.
I think that's quite apt for sort of life in general now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Because when we were kids, yeah. time just was of no essence, wasn't it?
It's that's like right, yeah.
Everybody's busy and in a hurry and can't be bothered.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the frustration.
I'll ring you next week.
Yeah, you've managed to invent this incredible thing and then you actually don't have any time to fit in to use it. And
I'm trying to remember the track, the one that's about...
Time Machine. It's actually called Time Machine. It's the last track on the
album. See what I mean? I can't remember.
Yeah, no worries. And then we've written a song. It's just songs about situations that we've been in. One is, you know, about those awful art parties that you go to where you're surrounded by people who are like, oh... I'm a musician, I'm an artist, I'm a director. Have you read my book?
I'm a panda, I'm a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a little bit... It's a good showstopper, that one, isn't it? Look at these two. What do you... I'm a panda, go away. I quite like that. Embrace the weirdness, that's what
exactly,
I say.
Exactly, it's embracing those moments that all you can do is laugh. Those moments that make you really cringe, but you can do nothing about them. And... Another song that I wrote is about a girl who's talking to a guy and she just wants to kiss him. She just wants him to kiss her. But he won't stop talking. He just talks and talks and talks and talks. And
so it's a plant one.
And she's like, for crying out loud, just shut up.
Nathan's like that.
And give us a kiss.
Nathan's like that.
So
when he's DJing on a Saturday, they'll come flocking to him. Don't they, Nath? Yeah, look at him. He's going red now. Yeah, you're the same colour as the walls in the San Diego bar. So there you go. So, yeah.
So, I'd say uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. It's Fast and Furious and
narrated
funky.
Through Fast yeah. and Furious. Yeah. Although I did hear on your show last week someone describe our music as early Shadows on steroids.
Who was it?
Which was hilarious.
Was it Dano? Yes. Oh, yeah. I forgot he was there. Ozzy Osbourne's
love
child, yeah.
So that I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I would say, though, just listen to it. If you don't know what it sounds like, have a listen.
And where can they access that?
Oh, God. Quick, help.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know my own website.
Yeah,
details.
It's on all the digital platforms out there. And you can also...
Facebook and Bikini Death.
Yeah, it's on
Facebook.
Spotify. Yeah, go to Bikini Death. We've got Bandcamp, and on Bandcamp you can buy all sorts of
formats.
You have
to send us your details.
CD, vinyl, cassette, everything else.
Send us your details.
I will.
We'll stick it on our website as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, thank you.
You know when this is coming out.
Yeah.
My website details are... This is how bad I am to write things down, I told you. Email thecodfatherdj1@gmail.com because Lee always tells me off because I forget the one. And the website is thecodfatherdj.com. So there you go.
I'm
right, on we move. Right, who came up with the name Bikini Death Race? And was there anybody else on the shortlist? Any other names on the shortlist?
It took us a long time to find that name. There were a lot of brainstorming. And we wanted to find something which was a contrast of concepts, I suppose.
Well, yeah, so you've got a beach, you'd associate a beach with a bikini.
Yeah, something that you think about the summer and something nice. Quiet. And then put that with death.
Yeah, so
there
dark.
You go.
So you're quite maudlin, really, then. But was it were you on the panda?
We brainstormed it together. I think we came up with it together, but there were lots of things that we thought about.
Who picked the third word, then? Because one had bikini, one had death. Was race a collaboration between the two of you?
I can't remember. I cannot remember. We had so many.
Well, come on, then. What else was on the shortlist?
Okay, other things that were on the list were...
And I'll tell you if you picked the right one.
Yeah, the other thing, Super Slurp.
Oh, I like it. Super Slurp, that's him. That's his new nickname, Nathan. Super Slurp.
And Alaskan Pipeline. And Jesus Jeans.
Jesus Jeans.
Strange stuff. But the funny thing is about our name, I have to say, when we decided to call ourselves Bikini Death Race... but we hadn't finished doing the album. We hadn't even really started recording it. We decided to make Bikini Death Race an actual race. So we set up a website. We pretended to be a rally. Ah. The Bikini Death Race, which was a rally from London to Bikini, which is an atoll in the Marshall Islands out in the Pacific. And
more geography lessons now. We learn something every day.
And the objective of the race was that you had to wear a bikini during the race, and you had to just...
You didn't have to die, though.
Drive. You didn't have to die, but you might die getting there.
Wonderful.
And the funny thing was that people actually signed up for it. You could register on the site to sign up for it, and we had actually people signing up for it.
How many? What sort of numbers are we looking at?
Not that many, because, come on, who could believe that was real? A few Americans...
Well, yeah, we'll say no more then. Yeah, we'll say no more about the septics.
So, before we were a band, we were a race.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, you was actually a race before a band. There you go. An actual running race as well, I like to call
it. No,
them.
It was a car rally.
A car race. Well, a car like rally. That running race is better. I'm a right, I've got to ask you this. For people that aren't actually can see this, the elephant in the room, i.e., the mask.
Yes.
The mask with the ears and the... It's almost like... It's like a ski mask, isn't it? With you've got a mouthpiece which is cut away. So, Batman, I'll go with Batman when... was it? Adam West played it. It's got the ears, the eyes, covers the nose, but your mouth's visual. So what's all this about?
Good
discuss.
Question. So, the masks are... Well, as I was saying before...
Oh, it's two parts. it's the panda. That panda's there, yeah.
This... We've been in bands before and we've done music before and this is really just about escaping completely, this band. It's about escaping from our everyday lives.
Right.
And just doing something away from everything else and being, I guess, being ourselves but being the extreme of ourselves. And...
It's like a persona, isn't it?
I suppose so.
And you can actually... I suppose you get into character, don't you?
And I think that it... Yeah, I can't really explain, but it's... We just didn't want to...
So whose idea was that?
I think we decided... I think it was Panda's idea.
And who knitted the first one?
The first one was knitted by my mum.
Mum or grandma's
but
do them, don't they?
I have to say that it didn't last long, that one, because she knitted it out of wool. And so you can imagine the first time I did a live in that, I nearly passed out because it was so hot.
I just heard a noise there. I just thought Leah dropped another pint glass.
Not again.
I'm just saying, I just heard that. I just thought he dropped a pint.
Be careful with those pints.
It's safe. It's all right. Oh, Dr. Haynes. Sorry.
So anyway, so the second one, Panda said, you really need to get one made out of a pair of underpants. So it's a bit... so it's a bit thinner and easier to wear.
I hope they're fresh and new. They're not used underpants, are they? Just... You know, I don't want the listeners thinking that. Ooh. Yeah, I've just got an image there because, you know. Because you don't be called Ginger Cat Skid.
I think less said about that, the better.
Yeah, you don't be called Ginger Cat Skid Mark, do you?
Let's, oh, God.
No, no.
Please.
Yeah, yeah, we thought they were eyebrows, yeah. So they're made out of what, fresh laundered or brand new. We'll go with brand new.
Brand new pants.
Yeah, brand new pants.
And it is a lot easier to perform in this one.
Performing in your underpants.
And obviously, not round the mouth because I have to sing. Well, whereas course, Panda, yeah, he's got his whole face covered up.
Can you take a photo of the yeah, that together we'll sit him on the wall. But we will get a... Obviously, we will take some photos.
Okay.
But yeah, I just wondered, it's just one of them things, you know, it's like you said, well, the escape.
Well, actually, yeah, here's the real answer. Panda and Cat, he's a panda because pandas have been, you know, that one of the characteristics of pandas is that they can sleep up to 14 hours a day. And
I'm going to start calling my wife a panda.
Yeah, so he... So he associates himself with that kind of animal.
Well, it could have been. I suppose a cat and a sloth wouldn't have worked, would it? Yeah. They sleep 23 and a half hours, don't they? So.
I quite like the idea that a cat just sort of lives their life and doesn't give a shit about anyone.
Yeah, they do. They're like kids, you know, basically. They're so like children.
It's not the reason why I chose to be a cat, but I quite like that now when I think about it. Yeah,
they're just like your kids' cats, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they use your house as an hotel, and then when they've had enough, they just clear off.
They just clear off, yeah.
And they come back and say, where's my dinner? Yeah, that's about right. No, interesting stuff. So, Ginger Cat wears underpants on her head. Clean underpants. That's an exclusive on The Godfather. So, where did the cat meet the panda?
Oh, interesting story.
Good.
I walked in on the panda in a public toilet.
That's a bit weird.
It had a faulty lock. It was a toilet in a pub.
Well, no.
But it had a faulty lock.
It's a communal toilet, was it?
Well, a lot of the toilets in Italy are communal.
Was it? Yeah, was it in Italy or...?
It was in Italy, yeah. I'd not been there very long.
So how long have you been there? How long ago was that then?
No comment.
Oh, well.
Don't want to give away my age.
Part of MFI or MI5, one of the two. You either met tables or you're a secret agent.
No, less said about that, the better.
That's fine. Ring the police. So you met him in a toilet with a dodgy lock.
Yeah.
And that's
it. That was it. And, well, we started talking about music and, this ain't going to work.
Hang on a minute. Go on, go for it.
Well, I think and then we basically, more or less straight away, decided to try and set up a band. Because we found out that we were both interested in music, and I think it worked because we didn't know one another, and we just sort of thought, let's just give it a go. And he was writing the music, and I was writing the lyrics, and it just worked really well. We clicked, and it worked.
Right.
So, all hail to Faulty Locks.
And communal toilets.
And communal toilets.
Right, we'll take a break then. We'll have a little bit more music.
Spotting out shit that you fully played. fancy looking. Why that expression? Oh shit, not again. Okay, face recognition quiz. Except I have no fucking clue who that is. Office, chin, semi-celebrity. Oh, I'm not really getting any chemistry. Only white noise coming to mind. I can't fucking help it if I'm face blind. Well, one ass, I feel real crappy. Smile not and act real happy. Neck the wine and take a breath. Challenge him with a fight to the death. I'm slipping further down the rabbit hole. What's the best?
Right, so back after the musical interview here at the Santiago Bar in Leeds, I've got Bikini Death Race singer Ginger Cat Bad Rocks, who's just had a massive burger, a plate of chips,
and
she's now
going
to devour some sponge cake. So anyway, we'll move on. You're saving the cake, aren't you?
I'm saving the cake. I couldn't possibly eat another thing.
We're going for a nap soon, aren't we?
Yes.
We're all a bit full. So, right, we'll get back onto the question. So, you and the Panda, the first song you actually wrote together.
Well, that's an interesting one because, I think it was Fuck Off and Die.
Nice. It is going out after 9 o'clock, so we're okay.
Yeah, so F Off and Die.
No, you're all right.
But as I think I was saying before, the songwriting process with us has been a bit unique. I think it's not the norm because the way it happened was that we didn't really ever do it in the same room together. So he would send me some demos of some tunes that he'd written, and I would write some words, and then I would do a little demo of me singing them and send them to him on WhatsApp, and he'd be like,
"The beauty of the web."
That's cool. And we really wrote most of our album that way. So because we didn't really know one another, and yeah, we did it like that, and it worked quite well. It was quite funny. It was like we often laugh about it and say it was like ordering a pizza. He'd like send me a demo, and then he'd ring me up and go, "Right, Kat, I'm thinking
forgot
about
the olives."
Yeah. He'd be like, "Right, I'm thinking about this this concept. Would you be able to write me a song about this?" And I'd be like, "All right, then let me give it a go." And I'd write some lyrics, and then I'd send it back to him, and he'd be like, "Yeah, nice one. Let's go and record it." And that was our right. So you were our obviously songwriting you got
in the
process.
Same room when you recorded it, like.
But we were in the same room when we recorded, but when we went to record, it was actually really interesting because we were doing a lot of the creation. A lot of the creativity was being done there and then when we were recording the album. So it was.
So there you go. So
that's unconventional.
But that's the beauty of the internet. I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Musicians, I know that they're sort of like the work. Send it online and. Yeah. Have a listen to that. Oh, I've got a bass line that'll go with that. And
yeah.
Can you write some lyrics? So it's a bit weird,
and
isn't
then
it
all sort of comes together. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
That was good stuff. So that was your F off and die.
That was F off and die.
Yeah,
we do
apologise for an explosive old potty
mouth. Oh, excuse me. I'm
potty
sorry.
Potty mouth ginger cat here.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Like I said, go after
mum.
The water
sorry,
shed.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, so if your mum and dad are listening, potty mouth, you know. So there you go. I suppose the follow-on from that is where and when do your best songs, tunes, lyric come to you?
Oh, right.
Is it like an inspiration? Do you have a process?
A lot of the songs that I wrote for this album came to me when I was on the metro going to work. I do have some times during the day where I'm sort of on my own and I'm in my own space, in my own world. And that's one of them when I'm sort of commuting. And so I wrote quite a lot of lyrics during my train journeys.
Must be a long journey.
It's quite a long journey, yeah.
It must be.
But I have also been known to sort of write things in the middle of a meeting, just write something down on a piece of paper when I'm in a meeting or something.
No, it's all right. Let's carry on. Let's say where we are. There's a lovely bell. That's telling us what time it is. 10 o'clock.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Past my bedtime. kidding. But yeah, not sure if I mentioned this, but nowadays I tend to sort of put things down on my iPhone whenever something comes to me and then little snippets of things and then try to bring them all together at some certain point into a song. One other thing that happens to us now, me and Panda, sometimes is because a lot of the Bikini Death Race songs are about situations, paradoxes, things that make us feel uncomfortable. When things like that happen to us, like when we're on tour and so forth, we sort of look at one another and go, that's a song right there, isn't it? And we go, yeah, that's going to be on the next album. Just something strange happens, you know, one of those surreal moments, and we're like, I'm going to write a song about
it. Let that bell ring in there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There you
bell
are.
In the middle.
For whom
of
the bell tolls. There you go. That'll be on the next album.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Guns of Navarone or something like that. But yeah, well. So there you go. Right, what was. I'm just having a look at what I can ask you now. Where was your first gig?
First gig with Bikini Death Race was our release show when we released the album. It's not even a year ago. We released it on April 23rd last year. And we did a release show in Rome at the Zuba. Yeah, it was a good gig. It was fun.
So it went well.
It went really well. And surprisingly, because no one had ever heard of us, but we publicised it a lot and... Was a lot
so
of
you got a decent turnout.
There was a decent turnout. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was good. It was good fun. Lots of fun.
And how nervous were you?
I was pretty nervous.
I'm looking at you now. That's why I'm asking you. You seem a little bit edgy still.
To be fair, as I say, because Bikini Death Race just happened so quickly and everything happened so fast. And then all of a sudden we're on stage. We've released an album. We've been signed to a label. We've recorded an album. And then we're on stage doing a gig. And I was like, okay, and I hadn't done a live for a while, so, and it was something new, so I was a bit nervous, but to be honest,
I would say. I think if you're not nervous, it can have an adverse effect. You can be going there a little bit overconfident, can't you? And
true, yeah.
And then you fall flat on your face.
You definitely get some kind of sensation before you do live. I don't know whether it's really nerves or, but it's.
There's a bit of adrenaline in there. Yeah. I think it's quite normal. So your favourite place that you've gigged?
Oh right, that's difficult because we've done lots of really good gigs since releasing. And
are all your gigs been in Italy?
No, not all of them. Majority have been in Italy, but we also did a very small tour in the UK last year.
Right.
And probably one of my most memorable gigs was the one that we did in London when we arrived in the UK. It was just fantastic because we had we got such a good reception and people were singing back our songs to us, which was just amazing. It's just indescribable. They were singing Party Animals. It was a pub in Hackney called the Queen Adelaide.
There you go.
Cool place, really cool place. And we were not expecting anything. We went there just to have fun and got a really, really good reception.
Well, if they're singing your songs, they've obviously know a little bit
more
about you.
Well, no, I don't think they'd heard anything. I think it was just that it was catchy and they just got into it and they were just sort of singing it. And
just brings everything
for
together, that, though, doesn't it?
It does, but... You know. And then another one, if I may, is last week we went down to Reggio Calabria, which is right in the south of Italy. A really long journey, and it was just one date. And we were like, well, are we really going to do this, drive 700 kilometres just to do one date? And but we did it, and that was also probably up there with one of the best gigs we've ever done. It was immense because we were in a room, it was not a very big club, but everybody was so engaged. And at one point, Panda was like lying on the floor playing his bass, and all the crowd was around him. We were in the crowd basically playing, and fantastic. They wanted basically the whole set played again as an encore, so we just kept.
So you did a 12-hour gig then?
No, because our set's very short, because our songs are so short.
Yeah, well, say the two-minute blast out there. So you did an hour then?
We did an hour. But you never know what to expect. It's funny. It was brilliant. Oh. Well worth the travel, that one.
Right, so if you could pick anywhere to gig then, what would the venue be?
Oh, my goodness. That's a difficult one. God. Well, this bar, of course, that we're in tonight.
Oh, the Santiago
and
Bar
I'm
in Leeds.
Keep going on about it until you get us a date.
Well, we'll have to get you a date. Yeah, we'll get you up here.
If I could pick any bar at all, it'd be this one, right, that I'm sitting in right now.
No, well, there you go. Any more?
Just this one.
So not Wembley or anything like that? Nothing?
Oh, no. I'm not. I like small venues. More intimate and fun.
And if there isn't a lot of people there.
It makes it look like there's a
lot. But with original bands, that's often the case, isn't it, where you don't get, you know, whether it's badly promoted or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like you say, small venues.
It's nice to have a small venue that's full of people and get into the crowd than have a massive place.
So your favourite place you'd like to gig, the Santiago Bar in Leeds. So there you go. We'll let them know on the way out. So what's your preference then, live performing or studio recording?
Oh, these are difficult questions, aren't they? They're both great, obviously, for different reasons. Live performance is just... well, there's lots of emotions in both of them because, as I said, you never know what to expect and there can be highs and lows in both. But with live performing, if you get a good gig and people are engaging with you and you're sort of connecting with people, it's indescribable, really.
Yeah, there's no better feeling.
No, it's just incredible. And you're on another planet, you know, you're just out there and it's wonderful. And then when you're in the studio, it's just such a good laugh and it's like a moment to connect with your band and your producer and just have a lot of fun and be, you know, more thoughtful and creative. And whereas when you're on the stage, it's just about.
I think it's the moment thing with a live performance, isn't it? And I think the added pressure there would be that if you cock it up.
Yeah, there's no going back.
In a studio, you can cock it up as many times and you can.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it
you
is.
You know. So
yeah.
I suppose that you know there's that's the pros and cons. Yeah. Isn't it? That's how I would see it. But your favourite track off Party Animal then, and why?
Oh.
I mean, they're all good, don't get me wrong.
That's hard as well. I think probably one of my favourites is Time Machine, and I think it's because it is quite dark as a concept, Time Machine, because it's, as I was saying before, it's about someone who invented a time machine but never has time to use it. And I think it does tell us a lot about our lives today, and... It's, yeah, I like singing it. It's one of the things, one of the songs that I like performing. And yeah, I mean, I like performing them all. It's difficult to say, but it's one of the ones that I, that you resonates get that, yeah, a bit more with me, maybe.
Yeah, that's, yeah, fair enough. Right, we'll take a break. We'll go back into it. Probably that song might come up now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, so we're back. Competition time, so you need to listen to the podcast and you can win a bag of goodies from Bikini Death Race. Right, advice you would give to people starting out a musical journey?
Honestly, I don't think I am the right person to give anybody advice about what to do in music.
Well, I've heard this question being asked before. One person said, don't do it and take up gardening.
Well, that's good advice. I'd love to be a gardener.
Well, there
that
you go.
Is really good advice. I would say, I don't know. My experience is just do what makes you happy and don't put your whole life onto something. Oh,
yeah, don't rely on.
You know, don't rely on something. Do what makes you feel happy and what you enjoy doing. And the music, you have to like the music yourself and you have to enjoy making it and doing it. And if you don't, then... when it's not worth doing, it's like everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we talked off air a little bit about that sort of thing, about if you're in it for the money or chasing money, I would stay well away from it because...
Yeah, I mean, I do think that an awful lot of effort... Well, I'm speaking about friends that I know in Rome and in the scene that I'm sort of a bit involved in. An awful lot of effort goes into making music. And so I think, obviously, if you can just at least get a little bit of money back and a little bit of recognition, that's great. But it's more about... It's probably just more about... doing what makes you feel happy and what makes you feel comfortable, and if you're not feeling it, then don't push it too much.
I also think people like yourselves should send demos to the likes of me, so
yes.
that we can get things aired out on your community radios, your podcasts.
Know, so. Absolutely. I think
The Codfather DJ 1 at gmail.com.
Yeah, I must say most of the work that we do is about trying to push stuff out and just to get people to listen to stuff. And nowadays it's dead easy. Well, dead easy. It's a lot of work, but it's easier because we have all this social media. And I know it's a bit of a pain, but if you do your networking well...
You and I are
well,
a good example of that.
Yeah, if you do your networking well and you try and push things out there and network and be kind to people and
sometimes I think you have to smile and grimace, don't you? You know, people I'll do that and I'll play that and then they don't bother.
Yeah,
I think you get a bit of that as well, don't you?
But
you're always going to get knockbacks. I think that's another thing.
Always,
people, you know,
always.
And if they think everything's going to be rosy, then
that's right. And
I think you're quite sensitive. I think you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Don't look at reviews unless they'll just look at the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you just have to believe in what you're doing, and if as long as you believe in what you're doing, it should be enough.
It's what we do. It's what we do.
Yeah, and you're passionate about
have listeners, and I'm sure there's people that listen and think I don't like the stuff you play, you know, whatever. But you know, people that like the stuff you're doing will come and see you. They'll find you.
Yeah. And if you're passionate enough about it, then it will take its course.
Yeah, just take your time on it. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to ask you this. I've asked this woman. Your thoughts on The X Factor?
Oh.
Be brutally honest.
I haven't seen The X Factor.
You'll do for me.
I've not followed the UK one for God knows how long. We have it in Italy as well now.
You're not missing anything, trust me.
I think anything that allows people to be creative is good. I'm not sure if The X Factor does. I really don't know.
I'd agree with
that. But one thing that I have seen that I don't really like is the fact that they choose stories about people who...
Yeah, they bring the sob story out, apparently, don't they? And then they go, they get the sympathy vote.
Yeah, and... Yeah. I'm not really into it, I have to say.
Good, neither am I. Yeah. Come to a venue like this and play your trade if there's three people and play it like you're playing.
Yeah, but having said that, maybe it's not always that easy to get into music, and people would see it's very difficult to get into, especially if you're not, if you haven't got musician friends, or if you're not, if you're on your own, it can be really hard. So it's a way, probably X Factor is a way for people to, they think that that's the way maybe to break
to
out.
Sing karaoke. Yeah. We'll leave it there.
I guess you don't like it very much, though.
No, I'm not a fan.
Okay.
So your favourite artist or band? And who would you like to collaborate and do a song with, write a song
my
with?
My favourite artist
or
band?
They can be alive or dead. It's not bothered, you know. You can have one that's alive and one that's dead, you know. It's a free and easy with a Codfather.
Yeah, it's not. They're not easy questions, though, I have to say.
Life ain't easy, is it?
Sometimes, just recently, I've been listening quite a lot to Velvet Underground songs, and I think...
Good shout.
And I think when I listen to their songs, I imagine what it must have been like to sit in a studio and to put out a song like that. To record a song like
everybody that. Everybody needs a bit of Lou Reed in their life.
And I just think it's absolutely mind-blowing that they could have
They did a lot
stuff.
Of good stuff.
You know, it's mind-blowing.
And
I think
a lot of good stuff.
It must have been amazing to be in that situation.
Yeah.
So maybe Velvet Underground.
Nothing wrong with that. So we'll go with that. Velvet Underground. It's a bit of a contrast from Bikini Death Race to Velvet Underground, but there you go.
Full of surprises.
So what song would you like to have written and why? Any song,
oh
you know.
Oh, my God.
Come on, this'll frazzle your brain.
How many more?
We're nearly at the end. You're all right.
What song would I have liked to have written and why? I am a lyrics freak, so I'm really into lyrics. And I'm a northerner, as you can probably hear.
Yes.
So it would probably be something by the Smiths. Because
Lee's smiling now. Look at him, Doctor Haynes over there. Doctor Haynes, look.
Does he approve?
Oh, he's a big Smiths
fan. Does he approve? Yeah, so it'd probably be something like "Girlfriend in a Coma" or "Last Night I Dreamt Somebody Loved Me."
Doctor Haynes, love you there. Look at him. He's swooning now. He's gushing. Look at him.
Those songs are just for me.
They're timeless, aren't they?
They're timeless and. It's like putting a knife through your heart, isn't it?
There you go.
It's just amazing.
And there you go.
Beautiful.
Well, so the Smiths, Girlfriend in a Coma. It's a bit dark, isn't it? But
but with that comedy.
Yeah, I remember I was seeing some comedy thing. Bernard Manning.
I love about Morris.
Bernard Manning sings the Smiths or something. I just remember. Girlfriend in a Coma, and I'm thinking Bernard Manning singing that. Anyway. Johnny Marr, oh, good guitarist. Great guitarist.
last night I dreamt that somebody loved me. No hope, no harm, just another false alarm. Last night I felt real arms around me. No hope, no harm, just another false alarm. So tell me how long before the last one, and tell me how long before the right one. This story is over.
Your mirror, I be your
here's your last question, so you can then you can breathe and relax, and you can let out that, you know, burger.
Another one.
Oh, you've got cake to eat, haven't you? So yeah. So right. So what's in store for Bikini Death Race for 2019?
Well, apart from playing at the Santiago Bar, or however it is that you pronounce it.
Santiago, Leeds.
We've got quite a lot of stuff going on. We've got quite a lot more dates in Italy.
Right.
Next Friday, we're playing at a unicorn party. And then we've got a load of other dates in Italy. And then...
So when does that finish?
That will sort of wrap up around, probably towards the end of April.
So
and then we're going
left.
To, yeah, we're hoping to come to the UK, like, beginning of July. And then, write a new album. We've already sort of started on it a little bit. And so hopefully we'll get a new album going. Quite a big to-do list.
Well, no, that's fine. Like I said, so you're keeping active.
Absolutely.
You're in the studio or sending snippets by via iPhone.
Yeah, well, no, it's not quite as bad as that anymore.
You actually meet now and again.
And we've got quite exciting news coming up about someone joining us for a couple of dates.
All right. What are you doing? Is it that you, Nathan? Is that you?
It's not.
He'd have been all right there, sound engineer.
Because we want to have a bit more of a live experience, so we are considering having some more giraffes.
Giraffes?
Yeah.
You're having a giraffe, aren't you? Do we know anybody with an extremely long neck? GT. Yeah, but he's gone on.
No, I'm kidding. We're going to get a guy, our producer who, I maybe shouldn't say this.
Yeah, you're right.
Very good friend of ours, amazing, amazing musician and a genius, is going to probably come and play synths with us, drum machine, so that our live is a bit more...
A fuller sound.
Louder. And a bit more exciting, hopefully. But let's see.
When you are in the UK, let us know. We'll put the dates out.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, so I think it's just time to wrap it all up now. And yes. Thank you very much, Ginger Cat Bad Rocks from Bikini Death Race.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Santiago Bar in Leeds. Thank you to Nathan, Dr. Ains for feeding and watering us.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening. And thank you. Good night.
Good night, thanks.
Yeah. Bye.